WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. 5 weeks after it began, former President Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial begins winding down today. Closing arguments are set to begin. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
I think we can expect the prosecution to say, this case isn't that hard. Sure, there's a number of different steps you, the jury, have to take, but let's look at all the evidence you heard. Let's look at what makes most sense here, and then let's go ahead and convict.
Mr. Trump's charged with 34 counts of falsifying business records to hide a payment to adult film star Stormy Daniels. The jury could begin deliberations tomorrow. Memorial Day weekend's come and gone, and many people are still dealing with the aftermath of severe storms, blamed for at least 23 deaths. The home Nicole Kettner shared with her husband and five kids was destroyed in Decatur, Arkansas.
Last night in our hotel, I started getting emotional, but then I just see all the blessings that are coming out of this and seeing how community comes together.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is speaking out again today about the airstrike that killed at least 45 civilians at a tent camp in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. Today he called it a tragic mishap. CBS's David Martin.
Israelis have told the U.S. the horrific death toll was caused by a piece of shrapnel which pierced a fuel tank, setting off a fire that engulfed a tent housing refugees. That, according to an administration official who said the U.S. has no independent confirmation of the Israeli account.
Witnesses say Israeli tanks reached the center of Rafah for the first time today. Norway, Spain, and Ireland begin recognizing Palestinian statehood this day. Khaled Elgindi at the Middle East Institute.
It's not going to change realities on the ground, least of all in Gaza. It's not going to end Israel's occupation. It's not going to create a sovereign Palestinian state.
ESPN reporting a pair of flight attendants are suing, claiming they were sexually assaulted by ex-Jacksonville kicker Brandon McManus on a Jaguars flight to London in September. They claim the team failed to supervise McManus and create a safe environment for flight staff. Jake Paul insists his match with Mike Tyson still on after the former heavyweight boxing champ got sick Sunday. CBS's Monica Ricks.
Mike Tyson says he's doing great after a health scare on a flight this week again from Miami to Los Angeles. The boxer's rep says he got nauseous and dizzy due to an ulcer flare-up about 30 minutes before landing. Paramedics were waiting for him on the tarmac.
58-year-old Tyson slated to fight 27-year-old Paul July 20th in Arlington, Texas. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The National Weather Service is in Rock County to survey severe weather damage from Sunday. The damage is to large trees, which could have been done by tornadoes. The Weather Service investigation will focus on Janesville and Milton. Tornadoes may have also touched down in Whitewater and Fort Atkinson Sunday. A lot of people are on their way home from the busiest Memorial Day weekend for travel since the pandemic. 3.5 million Americans flew somewhere.
Last year, the cancellation rate was at a 10-year low. This year, so far, it's actually even better than last year, but we want to make sure that it stays that way. We're pressing the airlines to do their part.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. This is Civic Media News.
The Brewers stun the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A showdown between the crew and the Cubs in front of a sold-out AmFam Field, a scoreless pitcher's duel. Until the eighth, with Willie Adames at the plate for Milwaukee. Coverage, Bally Sports, Wisconsin.
Wisniewski deals, Adames center field. Bellinger on the run, he looks up, goodbye! A three-run blast, Willie Adames!
The Brewers went on to win 5-1 over Chicago. Adamas on taking a swing with three balls and no strikes.
I don't really like to swing 3-0, but today it's just the right opportunity, the right moment, and the right situation. I think today we got the results we wanted.
Meanwhile, the Cubs' scoring drought continues.
We talked about margin for error, and certainly when you're in this low run scoring environment that for us, you know, a couple weeks now, your mistakes are going to hurt you bad.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy at times later this afternoon. High of 64 with wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 45. Tomorrow, sunshine 70. On Thursday, sunny with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, May 28th, 2024, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, or watching us on social media, or listening later on demand by podcast, thank you for taking us along to get the short work week started. I got a question for you. Was it a good Memorial Day weekend? Maybe it wasn't great. The weather certainly wasn't great, but maybe you had a good time nonetheless. We certainly did it with family. Hopefully you did too. The other question, of course, would be, where is Greg Bach? But as we explained earlier, he's enjoying a slightly longer weekend. So those of you watching on Facebook, Twitter, or the Up North News YouTube channel, look to see if I press this button, you know, who shows up in the other box. Of course, it's Luke Mathers and the world's largest Milwaukee Bucks cap. Mr. Mathers, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. I don't think it's the world's largest. They've got some of those outrageously large hats.
It's got a brim on it, man, that you could land a Harrier jet on. But that is, you know, what you young kids wear these days. And I admire your fandom continuing to wear that when the Bucks stopped playing, you know, 60 days ago or however long these playoffs appear to last. And by the way, I'm just gonna go right to the basketball. I'm gonna put the dagger in every Minnesota fan right now. Timberwolves fans are simply, you know, Minnesota sports teams doing Minnesota sports things as they again bring their fans close to the mountaintop and then throw them off over the side, down 3-0 in the Western Conference Finals. Yeah, against Dallas. So having twisted the knife a little bit toward friends and family on that side of the St. Croix, are you watching any of that, Mr. Mathers?
Oh, yeah. I was watching last night when the Celtics eliminated the Pacers. So Celtics are going to the finals.
You know, so I'll go ahead and ask the guy in the Milwaukee Bucks cap, the Celtics were going to eliminate the Bucks, right?
Most likely, yeah. Most likely.
Healthy to healthy.
It's such a dominant season for them.
Healthy squads. If both Boston and Milwaukee were healthy, I have a feeling it would go to Game 7 and my Bucks fandom would be hopeful.
Would kick in then, yes. Look, if both teams were at the peak of health, I'd love to see that. That would be Ali Frazier. I really would.
Yeah.
But it is so tough to get to the playoffs now and have everybody healthy. It just doesn't seem to want to work that way.
It was a little extra sting yesterday, too, with Drew Holiday right at the center of the rebound that iced the game. Like, Drew was right there in the heat of it, and that's tough to watch. But I'm happy for him. I'm very happy for Drew Holiday.
And that's the good attitude. You have to have that. If you'd like to join the show at some point here, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, you can call
text. You can use the Civic Media app. You can send us an email as well, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. So how was your holiday weekend?
It was moist. It was very wet. We weren't anticipating. Well, we've been watching the radar very closely the last couple of weeks. We are in the process of trying to paint the house.
Okay.
So it's been a whole saga of sanding and scraping and trying to prime. So no actual paint on the house, which is one of the goals of Memorial Day weekend, was to have some portion of the house already painted. But with how much rain we got, we thought it was best to let it continue to dry. So we were kind of in a holding pattern and went back into the basement where we're finishing the floors for yet another room. So
there's always something.
There's always something to keep us busy.
That was our theme last week. There was always something. You know, the pontoon's not in because the engine conked out. You know, there were a couple of trees came down in a storm, so we had to pay for those to go away. We had to pay for the garage project that we had done. Home ownership, man.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing like
never this. Ending. And when you get a fixer-upper, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you know you're just going to be just one more project right after the next one.
Fixer upper is a financial downer. Yes, it is. 6 a.m. temperatures around the state look like this. 55 up here in Chippewa Falls, 51 in Hayward and in Park Falls. Wausau's at 52, Green Bay 57, La Crosse 52, 55 in Rapids, 55 in Oshkosh, 51 in Madison, 52 in Waukesha. There were a couple of sports notes I wanted to pass along. Let's do the sad one first, then the really happy one. The sad one is the passing of NBA legend Bill Walton. I mean, again, if you're either of an age where you saw him play and saw how truly great he was, or you are young enough that he is just one of those NBA broadcasters that was larger than life. And he really was. I mean, the man lived life. No doubt about that. One of your favorites, I hope, as well.
Yeah. Not necessarily. I mean, I'm aware of him as a more of a commentator, but definitely a career and one of those voices that is for a lot of folks synonymous with basketball. So it's like big legend passing away, it's one of those things that is. Folks are getting up there, and there are more and more of these legends that we hear are passing away each week.
Let me just say, though, Sherry mentioned it first. You know, he passed away at 71. 71 doesn't seem so old anymore for us as it used to be. Because, but that's the sad news. But you know, happy in that he lived life to its fullest. Yes. He was brash. He was bold. He was very colorful. And lived life on his terms, and bless him for it. Now the really good news. Luke, tell me you had a reaction.
I had a
finding
feeling,
out that Major League Baseball umpire Angel Hernandez is taking his seeing eye dog and cane and exiting Major League Baseball. You couldn't come up with better sports news for me today.
See, I thought it was baseball related, but I thought you were talking about Craig Counsell coming home and getting the L.
That was going to be the big news there.
No, but yeah, Angel retiring too is up there.
Angel Hernandez. Look, this has not been a good year for Major League Baseball umpires. It just hasn't. And you're going, you're just saying that. No, go to the video. This has been a horrific year already for baseball umpires. But Angel Hernandez is in a class of his own, a league of his own in terms of blown calls. And then, I mean, just making it all about him. You know, the whole term, the ump show. If it hadn't been coined by the time he came around, he would have been the inspiration for it. So, yeah, as you can tell, I'm not the least bit. And I don't know the guy. I don't know the guy from a hole in the wall. I just know that if there is an altercation, a verbal altercation on the field, it's usually Angel Hernandez trying to defend the indefensible. In terms of calls that get, that would get overturned if you had, the robotic balls and strike zone, or just any other improvement on the game. But yes, as for the game itself, for the Brewers heading down to Chicago. Now, again, they've already played against Craig Counsell's Brewers, but down in Chicago.
No, the Cubs took
2 out of 3. What?
Oh, you're saying, okay, back the previous series.
Yeah, gotcha. I was rewinding the tape here. You know,
I thought you were talking about yesterday. I was like, no. They're here in Milwaukee.
Uh-huh, yeah. So they Craig Counsell's Cubs beat them 2 out of 3 at Wrigley. But now this was Craig Counsell's homecoming, and I say that kind of liltingly with homecoming, like, you know, this will always be home for him. I don't know. I understand the point of, hey, you know, he could get more money. Maybe he wasn't getting enough respect from management, whatever the case, you know. But as a fan, I get to say, look, the Mets were going to make him very wealthy. The Brewers were going to make him very wealthy. I trust a lot of teams would have made him very wealthy to the point where he would say to the Cubs, hey, thanks anyway, but, you know, I'm a Milwaukee kid. I'm not going to my division rival. And yet he did. And so for people going, oh, his image will rehabilitate, I just don't know that it will when you go to the Cubs. And so it felt really good. It was a great pitcher's duel. It really was. It was a classic pitcher's duel. But in the end, the Cubs lost their fifth straight and wasted a brilliant performance from their pitcher, Justin Steele. After Willy Adames hit a 3-run homer as part of Milwaukee's 5-run eighth inning, and the Brewers beat the Cubs 5-1. Milwaukee's Robert Gasser, fifth start of the season, I think. And he did a great job as well. Didn't get the win because he left when it was still scoreless, but still, your first place Milwaukee Brewers are 4.5 games ahead of the second place Cubs in the National League Central. And Mr. Mathers, that had to feel pretty awesome.
It was pretty good. And shout out to all the folks that had some very, very clever signs in the stands yesterday for Craig's quote unquote homecoming.
Any you can quote on the radio, or
what? Born a Brewer, forever a traitor. I thought that one was just like that one cut deep, and mm-hmm. I think it goes to your sentiment, Pat. Where I don't know if his reputation around here is going to be getting any nicer in the next couple of years.
What I remind people to go, well, Brett Favre. Well, Brett Favre went to the Jets first before he went to the Vikings. You know, if Brett Favre had gone, you know, right to the Cubs or to the Bears, you know, the same way with
fascinating.
That would have been amazing sports right there. And the same way, you know, Jim McMahon, of course, is a Bears legend, but he ended up playing for both the Packers and the Vikings. I don't think he went to either. I forget where he went first after the Bears, but I don't think it was the Vikings. But again, this thing that Counsell did, you know, it's something, you know, that folks are not going to forget. Roger writes in on Facebook about being happy that Angel Hernandez, baseball's worst umpire, is retiring. And he also reminds us of the great line by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Airplane. Tell your old man to drag Walton and Lanier up and down the court for 48 minutes. I'd forgotten about that line. It is a great line in Airplane that Kareem gets to use. Again, Walton and Lanier were in a class of their own. But, you know, back to the baseball. Yeah, I mean, look, we'll get used to seeing Craig Counsell there. And the fact of the matter is simply this. The Brewers are, as somebody else said, they're too young to know they're not supposed to be in first place. You know, if you rolled the dice a few more times, the Cubs would be the ones 4.5 games in front. Then people would be looking at Craig Counsell going, oh, yeah, veteran manager. You know, he's got those teeth. We just happen to have a group that's young and scrappy and, you know, might not let Craig Counsell be as good this year as he thought he was going to be. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm good with that. It's a lot of young pieces, and it's a lot of fun to watch the young pieces come together, and there's going to be some heartbreaking losses. It's a long mm-hmm. baseball season. And so I know those are coming, but it's exciting right now.
Yeah. Coming up next, why Eric Hovde believes campaign rules are for the little people. Coming up next, but first a reminder, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show. Sorry, but we actually have a wait list for our Monstera.
Shaw's greenhouse is really bringing in the green.
We can't keep snake plants in stock.
She needs a construction manager to build on her roots and grow.
We could add a whole section for ferns. Here we'd have dahlias, dahlias, and more dahlias.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
It was on this day in 1982 that Rocky III hit theaters. Sylvester Stallone could not get permission to use the Queen song, Another One Bites the Dust, and so he asked an upstart band from the Chicago area, Survivor, to write and record a song, and they came up with Eye of the Tiger for a movie that was released this day in 1982. Part of today's history lesson, we'll have the full edition of that coming up less than 30 minutes from now. Sherita Booker joins us now. Sherita, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. Thanks again for joining us and telling us what all we're looking at and reading online. Same as always, we're going to start with one of the news stories that people are commenting about most, and then we'll get into a couple of the feature stories about life in Wisconsin. From a news story standpoint, I'm not really surprised that one of the stories that got the most engagements was when former President Trump answered a question and then had to backtrack on the answer. And I don't think a lot of people believe his backtracking. I think they believe the first answer. It's about birth control. Tell us more.
Donald Trump said he was looking at the possibility of restricting access to contraception, and he would have a policy on that very shortly. He also suggested that he would support the right of individual U.S. states to limit access to birth control. Jones said, oh my God, 2 steps forward, 10 steps backward. Enough. And Chris said, Republicans can't seem to sleep at night if they don't have absolute control over women and their bodies. And he also left a little more in that comment, but I'll let you guys go look at that on our Instagram.
Then there's folks who are saying Big Cooper Toll did, saying you people just twist his words, to which Gogo responded, yeah, the left is always doing that by checks notes, quoting him directly. Because again, this was an exact quote on TV. We also had Milltown Monger saying, no worries, birth control is a luxury for the rich, and on and on. So needless to say, a lot of engagement on that, not just, I'm just looking at the Instagram post, but certainly all over the place. And we've talked about that topic a few times. I sense it's going to come up a few more. Coming up for our next story that folks are excited about, and I certainly was when it started service, was the Borealis, the brand new train service from Amtrak.
Yep, that train service is now making stops across Wisconsin, the Twin Cities, and Chicago. It's the first new passenger train in 20 years and doubles the number of passenger rail options. Its daily route includes trips in La Crosse, or stops in La Crosse, Tomah, Wisconsin Dells, Portage, Columbus, Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Airport, and Sturtevant. That post had about 600 likes on Instagram and almost 200 shares. I'm sorry, Facebook, actually. Terry said, I've taken Amtrak 2 times now, one to Flagstaff and the other to Seattle. Love both trips. Now I have a reason to go to Mall of America. Tanya said, wish it would go all the way to Duluth, but this is great news.
And you know what? Someday it will, because I will say again that as a legislator, you know, plans were underway for high-speed rail to go across Wisconsin, which would have connected Chicago to the Twin Cities. through Eau Claire as well as La Crosse, and with an extension all the way up to Duluth. Obviously, Scott Walker scrapped all of that, but he's only delaying what is, you know, going to come at some point. So one of the comments was from Mary Clay Santino. I know her in the Chippewa Valley, saying, "We need a station in Eau Claire or Chippewa Falls," to which I'd say amen. We are already looking at possible sites there, and it will come. It's only a matter of time. Sharita, you're in the Milwaukee area. Have you taken the train at least down the Hiawatha to Chicago?
I have not. I've never been on the train, but that sounds like something I would love to do with my kids this summer.
I think you really should. I think it's great. We, in fact, Sherry did that when our kids were younger, where she parked the car and she drove down to as far as Toma and parked there and got on the train so that they could do the museum and the aquarium and make a little weekend of it. And then take the train back up. So it's just a great way to go. So I hope you take the chance to do that sometime. But of course, if you're not going there, maybe you're going to a beach, and you know there are beaches in Wisconsin. Would you expect any of them to be on a list of the best beaches in America? Well, you should, because we got one there, Sharita.
Yep, Schoolhouse Beach on Washington Island is the 86th best beach in America, according to a poll by FamilyDestinationsGuide.com. Located in Door County, the beach is known for its unique shoreline, which is one of only five beaches in the world covered in smooth, round stones instead of sand. That post had almost 500 likes on Facebook, tons of comments. Tara said, "Love this beach. Bring chairs, bug spray, and wear Crocs so the stones won't hurt your feet. It's beautiful." Lisa texted some friends and said, "Ever been? It's 16 miles from Ellison Bay with the ferry. Maybe? Question mark. Although I see a lot of comments about spiders." And there are a lot of comments about the spiders there.
Well, you've got dense woods right there. So I'm not a bit surprised. I mean, we were here on Lake Wissota. We get our share of spiders as well, you know, throughout the course of the year. Nature, nature's neat that way. But again, that's from FamilyDestinationsGuide.com. You can find a link on our social media post about that great Door County destination and all the other places we like to cover through these social media posts. Sharita Booker brings those to you. And much more. Sharita, have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, Pat.
And also, of course, as well as social media, we have our daily newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Again, upnorthnewswi.com, where you can stay up to date on stories Christina Lurie has added to today. Today is National Burger Day, for example. And so has a story about, you know, how much credit should Seymour, Wisconsin get for the invention of the hamburger? And also, where are some of Wisconsin's best burgers on various lists? She also has a link about a story on how Green Bay bar owners might get two additional hours of service during next year's NFL draft, as some of them seek to be open until 4 a.m. So you can look for that story. And finally, a link to one of our past radio discussions about how Red Lobster wasn't killed because of endless shrimp. It was the vultures, vulture capitalists. And again, sign up for that newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. On Friday came the deadline for incumbent legislators to file paperwork if they're not running for re-election. It's a special little piece of paper that incumbents have to fill out so that they can't get to the filing deadline of a district and then not have a candidate to run because the incumbent waited until the deadline. So incumbents have an earlier deadline. And that way, if they file to say they're not running, other people who'd want to run in those districts now have time over the next few days here to collect the amount of signatures that are required. A lot of retirements, primarily from Republicans, but also from some Democrats. Some are running for other things, like Katrina Shanklin is leaving the legislature to run in the 3rd Congressional District. She's running in the Democratic primary there. We will actually hear from her in our next hour. She and Congressman Mark Pocan talked or held a press conference on Friday about the Farm Bill and to set straight some of the things being said by Republicans like Congressman Derek Van Orden when it comes to SNAP benefits. So when we visit at 7:30 with Hans Breitenmoser, a Lincoln County dairy farmer, also he'll bring along Mike Stotz from the National Farmers Union, and we'll hear some clips from Congressman Pocan and Representative Katrina Shanklin all about the SNAP program and the Farm Bill. We'll unpack more of the headlines coming up after the Midwest Farm Report here on Up North News Radio.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Well, the House got it done. They marked up the Farm Bill, but with the inclusion of changes to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, it may be a moot point. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Four Democrats even joined Republicans to get the work done. Those Democrats from the states of Illinois, North Carolina, Colorado, and Georgia. Final vote, 33-21. But Chair Glenn Thompson says that he still believes the inclusion of SNAP in their markup may be the undoing of the bill's advancement.
In 2021, President Biden unilaterally, and I would say, and unlawfully, and intentionally updated the Thrifty Food Plan to no longer be cost neutral, resulting in a $256 billion addition to the Farm Bill baseline over a 10-year window, all of which is retained in this bill. This bill, in its simplest form, says that any future increases beyond inflation, must be decided by Congress.
House Ag Chair Glenn Thompson, that SNAP provision, just one of the items contained within the markup that may ultimately be the undoing of any further advancement. Markets look mixed in overnight trade. Numbers are next. Sorting out fact from fiction. That's exactly where Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars are being invested this growing season. Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean specialist, says farmers are being approached with so many different products these days, it's important they get clear, correct information.
Because farmers are really getting bombarded with, you know, carbon farming, be able to improve soil health. But what does this really mean? It's kind of a big nebula. So we're really trying to say these indices are ones that farmers can use and rely on, and they have a relationship with soybean yield. And we've identified some of those. But the cool thing is now we're wondering what management strategies help alter or change those. So can we actually improve our soil health metrics? And one thing that we found in this initial data set is that we've seen actually long-term, and by long-term, I mean a minimum of 5 years of cover cropping, actually improve some of our soil health metrics. So that's important and exciting for farmers.
Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean researcher, taking Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars to the field. Follow the story at wisoybean.org. On Friday, going into the three-day weekend, barrel cheese was down a penny and three quarters at 198. 40-pound block cheese up a half at 187. AA butter was unchanged, 312 and a quarter. This morning, the June Class 3 milk is down 16 cents at 1973. The July milk's up 7 at 2006. Currently, December corn is up 2 at 490. November beans down 2.5, 1217. July wheat right now up 14.5, 711 and three quarters. So there we go. That's where they stand on the opening bell for Tuesday morning. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms today, mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy at times later this afternoon. High of 64 with wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 45. Tomorrow, sunshine 70. On Thursday, sunny with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared.
That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's radio for this Tuesday morning, May 28th. So what do we owe the honor of Mr. Buffett's Cheeseburgers in Paradise?
Well, it's National, it's National Burger Day. And very nice. Somebody got their request in last second for, so this is what the default was set to.
I like it. I like it very much. Because it's also,
it's also where Mr. Buffett's having his burger today on National Burger Day.
In Paradise. Yeah, very very good. Wow, you're on, you are just on top of your game today. Appreciate that very much. Let's unpack some of the headlines here at 6:35 on this Tuesday morning. Nice to have you along again. You can join the show at 855-75-CIVIC. 855-75-CIVIC. Send us a text, give us a phone call, use the Civic Media app, or put a comment on Facebook. We're on the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page, the Up North News YouTube page, several other places. Come find us. We'd love to have your comment and your input on things. We're going to start with Eric Hovde, Senate candidate, who's been the beneficiary of a lot of TV ads lately. Now, some of them have been his ads directly. The man's got money after all, so of course you can run, you know, truckloads of ads Memorial Day weekend, almost 6 months before the election. I noticed the latest ads are again trying to prop up his bona fides as a, you know, a true son of Wisconsin. Here's where he went to school. You know, here's his home. Here's his McMansion, you know, in the Madison area. So, you know, just a Wisconsin kid through and through, other than that whole part about, you know, being one of the most influential people in his, you know, current hometown in Orange County, California. But he's obviously able to spend the money to try to burnish his image and try to, you know, let us know that he cares about Wisconsin. But he's also benefiting, of course, from outside independent group spending by PACs, political action committees. And political action committees have, shall we say, looser rules on campaign finance money. In return for that independence of being able to, you know, raise and spend practically unlimited money, corporate money, all kinds of things you and I would never allow in politics, but showed up until recently, they get that independence so long as the candidate and his or her campaign cannot communicate with, cannot coordinate with the PAC. The PAC is supposed to be an independent group that just happens to be running gobs of ads supporting somebody or calling out somebody. And it was noteworthy, shall we say, that there were these ads that, you know, Eric Hovde's direct ads are all, you know, light and fluffy and sunny and look at me, I'm a good guy. You know, the big bad independent PAC is running these things that are attacking Tammy Baldwin, declaring her the, you know, a Madison hypocrite. Eric Hovde is also from Madison. The narrator says that, you know, Baldwin told us to stay home during COVID, but, quote, used your money to fly to New York to live with her girlfriend at her lavish multi-million-dollar apartment. Note the emphasis on live with her girlfriend, wink. You know, the narrator says, Baldwin pretends she's for Wisconsin, but jets off to raise money from celebrities and hires lobbyists. And, you know, this group has spent $1 million so far on media placement in its latest filing with the Federal Elections Commission. that pushes the group's efforts so far this year, according to WisPolitics, to $3.25 million. And in that latest FEC report, we find out who has been pretty much the, not the only funder, but almost the only and far overwhelming funder of the group, of this independent public political action committee, this independent group, the Fix Wisconsin PAC, pretty much funded exclusively by Eric Hovde's brother. Eric Hovde's brother. An earlier filing from the group, which was created after Eric Hovde formally announced his bid, showed that Stephen Hovde made a $1 million donation in February. That accounted for all but about $30,000 of what the group had reported that it had raised. So there's not supposed to be the coordination. They're supposed to be fully independent. And it's not to say a brother can't be independent from another brother. But what if the pack is run by your brother, and at one point you were probably both paid handsomely from the same pool of money from a family business that was started by your grandfather, and you're now trying to paint yourself as a self-made man? And you do have millions to run your own ads, but this independent political action committee run by your brother, who's also benefited from the same family money, is running ads to attack your opponent. Sure seems to illustrate for some of us how, you know, political rules are for the little people. And why, again, for all that Russ Feingold and John McCain went through to try to clean up money in politics, they were ultimately unsuccessful with the tact that they tried and the tactics that they tried. But like so many other things that are worth having in this country, it's going to come in fits and starts. There are going to be defeats. There are going to be setbacks. But don't think for a moment that this is an environment that we should accept. To say, well, you know, McCain-Feingold got rolled back, and a lot of the water post-Watergate rules got rolled back. Yeah, they did this time. I also know that Roe v. Wade was supposed to be the law of the land for 50 years until it wasn't. And so the only way that we're going to get money out of politics, corporate money out of politics, and shall we say the money from American oligarchs out of politics, is just to keep hammering away, to keep pointing out that this is wrong. This is not independent. It makes a mockery out of independence. We're supposed to be a country of one person, one vote, not $1, one vote. And while dollars don't vote directly, dollars, millions and millions of dollars out of one brother's pocket, can pay for a whole lot of ads that influence a whole lot of votes. And this is a game we do not need to accept. We have a new example of Republican mischief, shall we say, when it comes to political appointments in Wisconsin politics. By now, I'm sure you're like, oh, he's not going to talk about Fred Prehn again, that guy that was the holdover on the Natural Resources Board. And I'm not, except to say that this is kind of where all of this started, with Republicans who were appointed by Scott Walker thinking the rules don't apply to them. And so they're going to apply some new rules. They're going to find a loophole in the current rules, and they're going to get a conservative-led state Supreme Court to say, yep, that loophole is genuine. You can drive a truck right through it. Well, now the makeup of the Supreme Court has changed, which is why you see people like, you know, Megan Wolf staying in place as the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, mostly because she's doing an excellent job and does not need to be a victim of party politics. But now we have this. Robert Atwell, a Scott Walker appointee to the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents, according to WisPolitics, will remain on the board for the foreseeable future. After Assembly Speaker Robin Voss advised him he can serve until his successor is appointed and confirmed. That's according to an email that's been obtained by WisPolitics. That blocks Governor Tony Evers from appointing a successor until the Republican majority Senate confirms one. And as we learned from the whole Fred Prent affair, there was already collusion between Republican senators and Prent and former Governor Scott Walker to block Evers from making an appointment and saying, well, if the Senate hasn't appointed somebody, then I guess the old person can stay in place even though his or her term has expired. It is a situation that, again, much like money in politics, needs to be changed. Somebody needs to run on a reform platform and say, we got to fix this. We can't have Republicans doing these things. We can't have Democrats doing these kinds of things. If there's a loophole, let's fix the loophole. The only way a loophole is going to get fixed is either an overwhelming majority by people who want to play by the rules, or it's going to take some bipartisanship, which in this case means it's going to take Republican legislators to stand up and say, you know what, this is not right. Let's fix this so that people can serve, so that cabinet secretaries can serve without worrying about being fired, so that people who are elected governor by the people of this state can have the appointments that voters want them to have. But we don't have that. We have instead Robert Atwell, who is one of two remaining Scott Walker appointees on the board, informing University of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman and others of the decision. Speaker Voss, Atwell writes, brought to my attention that the statute directs that in the absence of a resignation, regents remain in office until their successor is appointed and confirmed. Jay has recently confirmed this understanding. In light of that, I will remain on the board until I resign or my successor is seated. Blah, 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 blah.
Has this guy not been paying attention for the last couple of years, Pat?
I think he's been paying plenty of attention and is saying, well, I guess I get to play this game now too.
Yeah, he's just acting like he's just stumbling upon this. Like
just stumbling upon it.
It sounds like he was gonna retire, Pat. And they told him, kind of hang on, wait, we've got some breaking information for you.
Right. And he says, well, Jay, meaning Jay Rothman, the UW system president, Jay has recently confirmed this understanding. You know what Jay Rothman should have done then, 5 minutes after this letter came out? Is to say, yeah, I confirm the understanding because this is the system we've got and it stinks and I don't want you to stay. Now, I can't make you quit, Robert Atwell, but as president of the Universities of Wisconsin, I think you should step down. I think you should let the duly elected governor of the state of Wisconsin appoint a successor for your seat. You're not welcome. Get out. Well, I'm not holding my breath waiting for Jay Rothman to send such a letter. I'm just saying he should have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that in an ideal world, that should have been the way. And in an ideal world, the president of the Universities of Wisconsin system would have a background in higher education, in my opinion. That would be what I would prefer for an ideal candidate.
There's that as well.
But there's hundreds of appointments from the Evers administration, from his first administration, that still are awaiting confirmation.
Still awaiting confirmation. Meanwhile, others had their confirmations rejected, sometimes after years of serving in the position already. Since Evers took office in 2019, the Republican-controlled Senate has rejected 22 executive branch nominations. That's the firing of regents like former Assembly Rep Dana Walks of Eau Claire, businessman John Miller, and others. Republicans voted those latest ones down in March after they opposed Robin Voss on his successful effort to blackmail the UW system to pull back on programs surrounding diversity, equity, and inclusion. And no, this was not politics as usual. In the previous 40 years, the Senate had rejected exactly 4 executive branch appointments. This needs to be fixed.
Well, it's almost as if these lawmakers, Pat, have just faced no accountability and held accountable to the lawmaker or to their voters. And it's going to be interesting to see if with new maps, some of that accountability is going to come into play this next year.
And really, that's where it comes down to, is that you switched control of the state Supreme Court just over a year ago now in the election of Janet Protasiewicz. That court is still, is slowly but surely examining things that the conservatives put together over 15 years of control of the courts, 14 years of control of the legislature. What I don't want to hear from people come November is, you guys didn't fix everything. You didn't fix everything fast enough. That's not how this works. You don't get instant gratification. It takes time to make these things happen. And that's going to happen with the state Supreme Court. You got the new maps through. More things are on the way, hopefully including fixing this very broken appointment system. Today's history lesson with Dr. Kristen Lyerly is next. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
President of the Wisconsin chapter of the Leslie Gore Fan Club is here, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. For us to note that on this week in 1963, just a few weeks after her 17th birthday, Leslie Gore would score a number one single with It's My Party. Good morning, Dr. Lyerly.
And my 17-year-old is still sleeping till noon. I can't figure it out.
He doesn't have the pressure to come up with a hit record the way that others do. So
he's no Taylor Swift, but we love him.
Yeah. How was your holiday weekend?
It was nice. The weather was kind of crummy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I love Memorial Day because it is such an important day to sit back and think about the sacrifices people have made. Like in a deep way. This is like a flag waving kind of weekend for so many of us. And it's the unofficial start of summer, but it's also that time just to, you know, to talk to veterans who have been in combat situations, who have lost friends and loved ones, and just like, you know, pull it together as a community.
You would hope so. Next week, we will mark the 80th anniversary of D-Day. And so to me, the two are forever intertwined because of their proximity on the calendar. And looking at pictures from Normandy over the weekend, especially yesterday morning, really brings that point home. And I hope reminds more of us of, you know, what are we doing here? And what should we be doing here? And I hope people remembered that yesterday. Mm-hmm. We have a whole lot of 80-year-olds today. Check out this list of the next four people that turn 80 today. They're all born this day in 1944. I mean, this first one, not a bad start. Here's Gladys Knight, born this day 80 years ago in Atlanta. She was doing I Heard It Through the Grapevine before, you know, some other guy came along and made the song his own, but not a bad job herself. Gladys Knight and the Pips. The Pips, by the way, made up of a brother and cousins. She's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 1996. Next person, also turning 80 today, played for many years in relative obscurity until a producer heard this song, put it in a love story subplot of what they were working on, and millions of Americans fell in love with this song by Billy Vera in 1985. No. Did I give you the wrong? Did I give you the wrong link?
You
no,
might have gave me the wrong no, one, or did I skip
no,
over could
just,
one?
Vera,
here we right go.
There. Yeah, play that one. There you go.
What did you think I would do at this
so,
moment?
So, can you guess what
when you're
program,
before
movie,
me,
or otherwise, this song was in 1985 that put Billy Vera in the forefront? Any guesses?
I feel like I should know the answer to this, but mm-hmm. I do not. Listeners, help us. Listeners.
No, they're not. I'm going to tell you. It's Family Ties. Michael J. Fox and Tracy Pollan, who they later married and are still married to this day. Mm-hmm. And so they put Billy Vera in it. He turned 80 today. Here's who else turns 80 today. John Fogerty.
Oh, wow.
He's written a few songs. Would not have Tina Turner singing this song if John Fogerty hadn't written it. He's listed on Rolling Stone's list of 100 Greatest Songwriters at number 40 and 100 Greatest Singers at 72. Did pretty well with Creedence Clearwater Revival, then on his own. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Songwriters Hall of Fame. He had Bad Moon Rising, Fortunate Son, Green River, Down on the Corner, Who Will Stop the Rain, Centerfield, The Old Man Down the Road. Those three right there, turning 80, Gladys Knight, Billy Vera, John Fogerty, and Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani was not on any song hits whatsoever. All born on this day in 1944. And while we're in that kind of class of birthdays, little Marco Rubio is 53 years old today. So happy birthday, little Marco.
All the octogenarians and Marco.
And Marco, right. All right, let's get to a couple of singers who are a little, they're not quite 80 yet. Kylie Minogue, for example, is 56 years old today. Known in Australia as the Princess of Pop, and that country's highest-selling female recording artist, which often draws comparisons to the late Olivia Newton-John. There was no rivalry between them. Both women have had very public fights with breast cancer. Kylie Minogue for 20 years now, but again, kind of has invented herself over and over again as the years go by. Real staying power. Colby Calais turns 39 years old today, a native of Malibu, California.
Stop me on the corner. Swear you hit me like a vision. I wasn't expecting.
She had a little bit of exposure to popular music before her own singing career. Her father, Ken, co-produced 3 Fleetwood Mac albums, Mirage, Tusk, and a little project called Rumors.
Oh, I've heard of
so,
that.
Yeah, so I think she's probably got a little bit of that in her blood as well. This is also the 67th birthday for Kirk Gibson, former L.A. Dodger, who, with injuries to both legs leaving him a hobbled mess, he hit a pinch hit 3-2 pitch off of Oakland's Dennis Eckersley into the right field stands for a 2-run walk-off 5-4 win in game 1 of the 1988 World Series and baseball immortality, as Jack Buck says, "I don't believe what I just saw." Again, the 1988 World Series for Kirk Gibson, turning 67 years old today. And one, Kristen, for you as an OBGYN, on this day in 1934 in Ontario, the Dion quintuplets are born and go on to become the first quintuplets to survive infancy.
Yes.
Miracles of modern medicine.
Yeah, I know. I see twins and I'm like, ooh, okay. We're going to have to watch these folks closely. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine.
Imagine 1934.
I know. People were afraid of pregnancy back then. I mean, mm-hmm. People are afraid of pregnancy now too, but different story, different reasons.
I know. So I was, I looked at that and like, I'd heard of them, but I did not realize it was that long ago. Mm-hmm. So, all right, well, we're going to talk more about today's headlines coming up with Dr. Lyerly in just a bit. And then later, we'll have Hans Breitenmoser here, along with a guest from the National Farmers Union. We'll also hear from Congressman Mark Pocan and congressional candidate Katrina Shanklin from a Friday press conference. All of them talking about the Farm Bill and the SNAP program. That and much more in the second hour of Up North News Radio from Courier Newsroom and distributed by the Civic Media Radio Network, live from Chippewa Falls. We'll be back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.